Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Number one for the one and only, DNVR. Two goes out to Zach Mays, RK,
and the bar.
Three for Mr. B in that old trophy case. Number four we're still waiting for, well, bring on the chase. Couple with Breck, brewing a friend, bleed orange and blue to the bitter end. Come and join us, DDNVR. We are DNVR.
We are DNVR, and we are live from Studio C today. Studio C, coming to you from our homes. And today the C stands for Can't Relate. As in, can't relate to any of the teams who need a quarterback today, or even to any of the teams who have a first-round pick. Just simply cannot relate at all. But we've got plenty to talk about, and of course, there's still plenty of interesting storylines that are going to have our interest piqued during this draft. Of course, we will be live for the entirety of the first round. Mostly, I mean, of course, because it's fun for us, but mostly because for the last 2 years we have done this and so many people have said this is our favorite way to consume the draft. I hate watching the national broadcasts who never talk about the Broncos, and we know tonight they might not talk about the Broncos at all. Maybe at number nine they'll bring up the fact that the Broncos traded that pick for Russell Wilson, but it's going to be the least amount of Broncos talk you'll ever get in a first round of the draft, unless you're watching us, and then it'll be the most amount of Broncos talk you've ever gotten watching the first round of the draft. So that's why we do it. We're looking forward to it. Should be a great time tonight. Got a couple good guests lined up coming in studio to hang out with us at the bar. We'll have some beers. We'll hang out. 5:50 p.m. Is when we're going to be live. Of course, that is Mountain Time. So 10 minutes before the draft starts. Cannot wait for that tonight. So again, there are still intriguing storylines despite the fact that the Broncos 99% sure will not have a pick tonight. And I think the most intriguing storyline is the insane arms race that is the AFC Western Division. This is a division that looks like it could be the best in the history of football. And unfortunately for the Broncos, the other teams in the division have a chance to get better tonight, and they likely do not. So I want to talk to you guys about what we don't want to happen when those names come across the board. And we can get specific about what guy we don't want to go to what team and so on and so forth. But Mace, I'll start with you. Who is the number one guy you do not want to see end up in the AFC West tonight?
I don't want to see Jameson Williams end up anywhere in the AFC West. Out of Alabama. Just to me, the best receiver in this class, even though the injury is obviously pushing him down. This is not something long-term. I can see Zach kind of nodding. You know, I probably stole Zach's thunder because I chose an Alabama guy, right? But once he's recovered, he's the most pro-ready of any of the of any of the receiving targets. And obviously being a receiver, it'd be a sexy pick. If you put him with the Chargers, and I think that's where he could be in play for the Chiefs, they probably have to move up, package their picks to be in position to get him. I certainly wouldn't want to see him with Patrick Mahomes, but you throw him on the Chargers if they decide, okay, we're gonna push this arms race to another level. And then you look at him with Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, it gets the Chargers and Justin Herbert into pick your poison territory. That's the one that would make me, even though I know you wouldn't agree with me this on this RK, that would probably make me say, yeah, I think the Chargers are the slight favorite in this division.
Man, Maze, I think you nailed it with Jameson Williams. And what the good news is, I personally think injuries aren't going to be held to guys against guys as much in this draft. So that's good news for Jameson Williams not being able to fall to the Chiefs. It's bad news where he may slip to the Chargers at number 17 in the draft. And it's bad news for the Broncos by Ojabo, someone that we all three really like, probably not falling anywhere close to the Broncos for them be able to get. But Mace, I think you're spot on, and there's two guys that I don't want to see in this division, and I'll give you one for the Chargers, and you're spot on. It's Jameson Williams. You guys have both mentioned an arms race. Well, what's an arms race? It's full of weapons, and who is the biggest weapon in this draft? I do think it is Jameson Williams, and his ACL, once that is good, he is so freaking dangerous, and that is just something that you don't want this division to have more of, is just more weapons. Look, the Broncos have Pat Surtain. They've got a lot of good pieces on the defensive side, but still, you don't want to have to cover five guys when you play all of these teams. We know the Raiders are set with weapons already. And the second guy, a guy specifically who not only would fit the Chiefs really well, but the Chiefs are interested in, and who could potentially be there for the Chiefs picks at the end of the first round, Trey McBride, a CSU Ram local guy. This is something that would be very dangerous, because not only would you have to Trey McBride, but you'd have him with Travis Kelce. He can learn from Travis Kelce. And then also, that's just an incredibly difficult position to cover when you have one good guy. Look, the Broncos haven't been able to cover Travis Kelce since 2016. Travis Kelce has averaged 100 receiving yards against them. And then you add another guy at that position, that would just be a nightmare.
Yeah, and you can kind of start to build the narrative in your head as to why that makes sense for the Chiefs. We know that Kelce is on the other side of the hill. We know that, you know, they're down in weapons. This could give them a different way of attacking defenses than they're used to. Obviously, you know, they're used to going low to high, or high to low, I should say, looking deep and then coming back to Kelce wide open over the middle. Maybe they change that up this year. They're a lot more over the middle, a lot more dangerous with those two tight end sets. We remember Aaron Hernandez and Gronk, and what an insane combination that was. I don't think this is quite that, as you're getting, you know, obviously an over the hill Travis Kelce, who is still extremely productive, but he is definitely past his prime, and a very good player in Trey McBride, but who's no one would make the cases as athletically or physically gifted as Aaron Hernandez or Gronk. But it, you know, that could pose serious matchup issues for everyone, including the Broncos. Let me just ask you guys this. Was Jameson Williams number one on all of your lists, on both of your lists?
I didn't rank him like one, two, three, but he's the first name that I had as far as like a guy that I wouldn't want to see, especially just looking at the realistic possibility of him being a Charger, because that's probably, that range is right around pick 14 to pick 19 is probably where he ends up settling.
And to me, he was, and then it was Trey McBride right after him. And just the Mace, I agree with you about the positioning of the Chargers, but if the Chiefs really want him with their two first round picks at the end of the first, they package those up, they could go up and make that move.
They could. They could. And it wouldn't surprise me if they did. At the same time, kind of the Chiefs in terms of their long range planning, you know, you've got obviously the Patrick Mahomes contract that's going to kick up in value significantly as you get in 23 and 24. You got some contracts coming up. I think they would like the idea of Jameson Williams. The problem is, I don't know if they're willing to sacrifice that extra first round pick to do it, because they are in a position where the roster does need some fortification and they need kind of volume of picks, and maybe two picks at the end of the first round are more valuable than one pick moving up to, say, around 16 or so.
So do you guys want the, when we're looking at all of these teams around the AFC West, you want the good news or the bad news first?
Bad news first.
Bad news first. These Chiefs that we're talking about, They don't have one pick before the Broncos pick. They don't have two picks. They don't have three picks. They have four picks before the Broncos even have a single pick. They have pick 29 and pick 30, so back-to-back picks in the first round. They have pick 18 in the second round, and they have pick 30 in the second round as well. Of course, the Broncos don't pick until pick 32 in the second round, so the Chiefs do have a lot of ammunition, whether that's to move up to go get a guy, whether that's to, exactly Mace's point, kind of stock up because they're going to need some young, cheaper guys for a while. They do have that. Now, the good news is the Raiders, the Broncos have pick 64. The Raiders don't have a pick until after the Broncos. Their first pick in the draft is the 22nd pick in the third round. So they have to wait even longer than the Broncos. And then I guess kind of some neutral news, because we expected the Chargers to have at least one pick before the Broncos. That's all they have. They only have one pick before the Broncos. They have the 17th overall pick, like Mace was saying. That's the first pick in the AFC West. Their next pick isn't until pick 15 in the third round. So you kind of have really bad news with the Chiefs, really good news with the Raiders, and then the Chargers are kind of what you expect.
Doesn't this make sense, though? Because the Chiefs are the only team in the division that got worse this offseason. So it makes sense. They're shipping players out rather than bringing players in. So it makes sense they have four picks. I think all three other teams in the division would say, I'd rather have Russell Wilson, or I'd rather have Devontae Adams, or, you know, I guess the Chargers, I don't know who did they make a big trade?
Khalil Mack. They got Mack out of round two. But I think you make a great point. Of course, the reason why they're worse is the reason why they have, instead of two picks mm-hmm. before the Broncos, four picks. So you get one benefit, you lose on the other. If they hit on most of these picks tonight, then I think they're going to be pretty happy with it. But they're going to, you know, this is the draft that's going to determine if they got fair value for Tyreek Hill, because that's where these picks start. These picks come back to them is tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, and when it comes to the Chargers. Yeah, for the Chargers, they would love to see them hit on pick one, but they're not really relying on this pick, a middle pick in the first round, to change their future or to really help them this year or to help them for the future. Obviously, the Raiders, they can't do anything. The Broncos, they can't really do anything. Maybe they move up and get a good player. But the Chiefs, so much actually rides on this. They could get four legit starters, and two of those guys could be Pro Bowlers that have a huge impact. Or if they only hit on one, and let's say that one is just a starter and the others are kind of busts, then that is going to really set them back, because these are the main pieces that they got from trading Tyreek Hill, who was a huge weapon. So this is a massive 2 days for the Chiefs to try to get back up in that division. And of course, they're still right there with everyone. But like Ryan said, they did take a step back when every other team in the AFC West took a step forward. This is their opportunity to now to try to get back and take that step forward in this offseason.
And where have we kept hearing about where the strength of the draft is? That it's not at the top. It's as you get toward the end of day one and into day two. I mean, so sitting there with two picks right there at the end of the first round and the two second round picks, the Chiefs have a cluster of picks that in terms of value is regarded to be kind of where the heart and strength of the draft starts. So if they get only one good starter out of their four picks that they have in the first two rounds, then Brett Veach has failed completely. But but on the other hand, based on where this draft appears to be strongest, he has an opportunity here to patch up for the medium to long term, at least four spots on the roster.
Mace, what was the year? What was the first year of the Chiefs' current GM?
He came in because I believe it was 2018 was his first draft, because John Dorsey was at the wheel when they got Mahomes, and John Dorsey is maybe second to none in terms of player evaluation, particularly quarterback evaluation, but he's not very good with the cap and he's not a very good people manager, which is why he's no longer a general manager in this league, despite the success that he had. Cause now in 2018, he was running the Browns as well. Happened. I think they got rid of him. I want to say it was June 2017. I think you guys recall it was quite a shock when the Chiefs moved on from John Dorsey, but it had not. But thing is, it was a shock if you looked at his drafting it wasn't a shock with all the other stuff that we became aware of in terms of the Chiefs internally.
So let's look at the picks that the Chiefs have made under current management, and then you guys tell me if you're scared of what they might do in the draft this year. 2018, top three picks, Breeland Speaks, Derek Nnadi, decent player, Dorian O'Daniel, meh. 2019, top three picks, Mecole Hardman, Juan Thornhill, decent player, Kalen Saunders, meh.
Two out of three. Remember, Saunders was the backflip guy. You guys remember him?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. I don't think Mecole has lived up to be a second round pick at this point. He's a weapon, but he's not a good receiver, I would say.
I would say, kind of like KJ Hamler, this is his year to break out.
Yep, fair. 2020, this is the only first-round pick, so this is the caveat here. Most of these have been second- and third-round picks. Only first-round pick they have made in the post-John Dorsey era, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Failed.
Nope.
Yeah,
failed. Nope. They listened to Patrick Mahomes, and they should have picked Jonathan Taylor.
They should have. Willie Gay also goes in that draft, and Lucas Niang, better draft for them, except for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And then finally last season, Nick Bolton, we'll see, Creed Humphrey, that was a hit. And then they didn't pick till the fourth round, Joshua Kando.
Yeah. Nick Bolton's pretty good. And
they also got Trey Smith in the sixth, which was a big move.
I think if there's kind of one trend here, it seems like it's maybe not like a huge leap, but I think the draft classes are getting stronger.
Yes, I'll just say that, and with two first-round picks, this is clearly the best ammunition they've ever had, so you can't make this a one-to-one comp. I'll just say I'm not confident in them to make great picks.
Yeah, I'm not worried about them coming out of the draft with four impact players with those four first-round picks.
They should get at least one. I should say they have to get at least one. Two should be the expectation. Three would be a bummer for us, and four would be, you know, a unrealistic pipe dream.
And what scares me is those two second round picks and what they could do to jump up further in the first round with one or both of their first round picks. And that's what scares me, because the further you go up, the more likely it is that you're not going to take a bust on a player. And if they do target a weapon, that's what scares me. And when I put together my list, guys, of players I don't want in the AFC West, they were all weapons, because the AFC West is already loaded. And while I do like a lot of the pieces the Broncos have, you just don't give these quarterbacks in the AFC West any more help. So I don't want Trey McBride. I don't want Jameson Williams. I don't want Garrett Wilson. I don't want Drake London. I don't want Chris Olave. I don't want Treylon Burks. I don't want any of those guys landing in the AFC West.
Wide receivers are a dime a dozen these days. It feels like every draft is just stacked with talented wideouts. A couple more on my list. I don't want to see David Ojabo come to the AFC West, even though it's a redshirt year kind of pick. I think he is a top 10 talent that could be had at the end of the first round or beyond. I also put in Chris Olave. That was close to me in terms of scariness. When he went out there and ran that 40, and it showed he was – even faster than maybe he looks on tape, along with like that length and the way that he strides. He has like NFL receiver written all over him to me. He scares me. And then finally, Jordan Davis. I don't know how he's being discussed as a guy that could fall, you know, into the late first round. This is a guy who I think should be going in the top 10. So I hope that he does and doesn't come to the AFC West.
Mace, who are some other guys on your list? And I mean, that does scare me. You're talking about a 6'4" or a 360 or 340 pound stud on the defensive line. He's really good. He's a game wrecker. And yeah, I would prefer him not come there as well.
Yeah, I mean,
RAS score, which of course scares me.
I would echo most of those. The other guy I would throw in there is on the edge, Boye Mafe, out of Minnesota. I don't really want to see him end up, especially in, I think in Kansas City, he could cause some problems.
Anyone else for you, Zach?
I mean, just all those wide receivers. I don't want to see any of them in playmakers. Treylon Burks, guys, he's a guy that we haven't talked about that much. But if you want to try to find the next Deebo Samuel, the more of a weapon at wide receiver that can also take handoffs and stuff, that's him. And we talked about how scary Deebo could be if he's with Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, and Andy Reid. Treylon Burks is kind of a guy that really could go at the end of the first round. That would be a scary fit to me because he's a really good player, but also in terms of fit, I would not like that.
Fair. All right. Before we move on, we sadly have to move on from the Nuggets season. It was a tough one last night, but I'll say this, the bar was incredible. Like just the energy and like the vigor in which people were cheering on the Nuggets last night. I wish we could have bottled it and sent it to the Chase Center to help those guys because it was like a tenacious crowd. Like, you know, just everyone losing their minds at bad calls or just going crazy on threes. It was so awesome. So thank you to all the Nuggets fans who came out and watched. I obviously cannot wait for that to happen for Broncos games this year, especially away games. Of course, we'll still be doing the tailgates at the stadium, but I'm sure it will be packed every game. We don't have to wait that long because Avs Stanley Cup playoffs are right around the corner. In fact, what do we got? Like 4 or 5 days, depending on when they get scheduled before Avs playoffs start. So I was worried that the Nuggets would get swept and it would be a long wait before we get to go back into playoff mode. I think I can keep my playoff vibes rolling for 4 or 5 days before we get Avs playoffs. So cannot wait to see everyone down at the bar for that. There's nothing quite like playoff hockey. And if you're like me, you want to be around other people who are as dialed into the game as you are. And there's no better place to do that than at the DNVR bar.
And if you're super excited and just need to chill for a couple of days when you're watching the draft before playoff hockey starts, check out our friends over at Light Shade Dispensary, where they've got so many things going on, including Wana, which is a fast asleep 20 to 100 THC CBD. And if you need to get to sleep and also stay asleep, Wana is great because it's going to leave you well-rounded. It's going to leave you feeling refreshed and feeling great going into your days. And they've got this and so many products at their 11 Denver metro area stores, including the Barnum location, which is their newest and their biggest store. It's one block off 6th Avenue and Federal Boulevard. It's their biggest store, and they have products that aren't offered at other stores. So check them out. Whether you go to any of their 11 stores in person or online, use the code DNVR to get 25% off non-sale items. That's code DNVR for 25% off over at Lightshade Dispensary.
Also, check out our friends over at Manscaped. They've got the Performance Package 4.0, which has got the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker Ear and Nose Hair Trimmer, Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and even a travel bag for all of that. And I can tell you, especially that Weed Whacker Ear and Nose Hair Trimmer, when you get older and you start hearing a little whistle in your nose, you know what? It tells you the nose hair is out of control. You got to take care of it. Then that just shows you how Manscaped is not just for taking care of things below the belt, but up top as well. Of course, it's got the best technology involved. Their fourth generation trimmer in the Lawnmower 4.0 features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. Also waterproof and has a 400K LED spotlight if you need a more precise shave. And you can not only get all of that, but you can get that for 20% off and free shipping by using the code Broncos20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com with the code Broncos20. And then you're going to get everything you need from Manscaped. You can get that, like I said, that Performance Package 4.0 with everything to take care of your balls, but also take care of the excess hair in the ear canal in your nose. That's what you're going to get over at Manscaped. So check it out. Manscaped.com. Use the code Broncos20 for 20% off.
All right, guys. Let's jump into some predictions here. Now, I'll say this. This doesn't have to be a final prediction for what the Broncos are going to do at 64, because obviously we're going to see a lot of things unfold between now and then. I think we'll have to go final predictions probably in the minutes that we go live before rounds 2 and 3. I talked about tonight, which, by the way, you can also come hang out at the bar for that. We'll have it on the TVs. But we'll also be live rounds 2 and 3 for the entirety of that. And then we'll be live again on Saturday after the Broncos wrap up all that they've done. So that's going to be fun. But
and Ryan,
it doesn't have to be a final prediction.
Ryan, you say we're going to be live. We're going to be live on YouTube. So if you're tuning in on YouTube, make sure to subscribe so you know when we're going live. Turn on alerts. Hit us with a thumbs up right now. We would really appreciate it. And if you listen to us on the podcast side and you're like, well, I don't want to wait till that final recap to come out on Saturday night, which, by the way, we will have one for you dropping on the pod side. But tune into us on YouTube. Try that out during the draft. And again, you can subscribe, turn on alerts, and hit us with a thumbs up if you're watching live on YouTube. We would really appreciate it.
And this is one that, I mean, you could technically, if you want, if you're someone who like, I got to watch the ESPN coverage, or I got to watch the NFL Network coverage, you know, to each their own. I highly recommend watching this one live. You could go back after all that and then watch us react live to all the picks all over again. But I think you'll really enjoy it most by watching this live on YouTube. So come hang out with us tonight, starting at 5:50 on DNVR YouTube. And we'll have a blast.
Well, Ryan, something that a lot of people do is they throw us on one of their screens. They've got a couple of screens, or they throw us on their iPad. They have the national coverage on their television so that they know exactly what's happening, which we also break down what's happening around the league as well. But they want that instant reaction from the national people, and they have us as well. So feel free to do that.
Yeah, of course. And most people say, I ended up just turning off the ESPN. Okay, let's jump into some predictions here. We won't get to our player prediction quite yet, but let me just start here. Zach, do the Denver Broncos trade up from 64?
Yes. Did I say it quick enough? Yes. George Payton, he's going to be antsy tonight. As fun as Russell Wilson highlights are going to be, by the end of, by 27, 28, he's going to see he has 10 to 15 guys left that he loves. And he's going to say, oh, man. And then he's going to sleep on it, knowing that there's 10 guys left that he loves in this draft. Then tomorrow, it's going to be itching at him. He's going to start making calls after tonight's first round ends. Tomorrow, he's going to be making calls throughout the day. And he's going to know, okay, when these couple of players are still available at 40, 45, 50, I have these deals worked out, and I'm going to make a move. So, yes, a trade does not happen tonight. But the wheels start getting turning for a trade to happen tomorrow. The Broncos will not pick at 64 tomorrow. They will pick before that.
And let me just add this. I hadn't thought about the fact that the Chiefs pick at 50. It could make a lot of sense for the Broncos to want to jump ahead of them and get a guy they don't want on the Chiefs. Mace,
yeah.
What's your thought?
I think George Payton's going to be tempted. I think he's also going to look at what they have next year in terms of only having 4 picks in the draft right now. And I don't think he's going to start kind of looking and saying, okay, well, 10 or 15 guys dropped in the second round. I think he's going to look at the board when it gets to around pick 50 and see how many of the guys that they've been looking at, that they've been focusing on in that range, could be available or could even be available if they move down. And if they see enough guys as they get to pick 50, 55, 60, I think they're actually going to take a trade down to accumulate more capital for next year. So I think the Broncos are going to do the exact opposite ultimately, and they're going to move down from 64.
You spoiled my next question, but I guess I'll answer both too. I do think George Payton is going to be incredibly tempted to move up. He'll probably be tempted to move up tonight when he sees someone fall to 30 that he really likes. But unlike Dan Orlovsky, I don't think George Payton is affected by temptation. I think that he's able to stave off temptation without any weirdo tactics. So I think that he resists the temptation to trade up. And I agree with Mace that he eventually trades back in the draft and just keeps the big picture in line. You know, he is so in love with draft picks, and he's kind of had to punt on this year from a draft standpoint. Now, he does still have 9 picks, and he'll remind you of that. But I think he keeps his 9, maybe even goes up to 10 this year, while adding to next year, which is way, way, way too thin for him. So I think he does trade back.
I think the deal that he would love to make, by the way, is pick 64 for a round two pick next year.
Yeah, and this is something we broke down, and we would all do that. That certainly would be a very good deal if the Broncos would do that, because there's no way that that pick next year would be any further back in the second round than what they have right now, because they have the very last pick in the draft, thanks to the Rams winning the Super Bowl this year with Von Miller. So while Von got a Super Bowl ring, that made the Broncos have the last pick in the second round. I do think there is a lot of trading that goes on, and the Broncos move back to acquire capital for next year and also this year. But I think it's with those two third round picks. I think it's with those two fourth round picks. I just think the Broncos are going to have enough guys, or at least one guy with a high enough grade still left on the board, where they feel like they got a first round talent or a high end second round talent. And they say, okay, are we able to trade with the Lions number 64 for their second round pick next year? Okay, the Lions probably aren't that stupid to make that move. If they are, you do that. But if not, I think George Payton's going to say, I think we're able to get a better player this year than if we move back.
Of course, one thing, though, if they do want to move up, Zach, the problem is that does mean sacrificing from round three, round four, in all likelihood. So I think, in a
fourth round pick.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. I mean, is it possible they could trade up if they've got like one guy that they absolutely crave? Absolutely. But I think RK kind of hit the nail on the head. George Payton is a really cool customer. And one of the things, and one of the reasons that he's a cool customer is that even though he has, you know, he's got kind of like, you know, you got the angel and the devil in your head, kind of the internal monologue. Like he's got one saying, oh, go up, do it. But then I like your devil voice. Yeah, the better angel, like, George, wait, do you want to go into the draft next year with only four picks? You need more.
But here's how I think.
TikTok of this skit.
here's how I think the devil convinces George to do that, though, is the devil says, George, you can get a first round pick. If a first round talent in your mind, or borderline first round talent, by trading one of those thirds or even a fourth up in order to get that, you still have another third round pick. And by the way, don't forget about Russell Wilson. He is part of your draft this year as well. And George likes a lot of picks. I don't think that magic 10 number is truly something in his mind where he's like, I have to have 10 picks. And if that's the case, then you're going to see a lot of movement for next year's draft, since they have to over double their trade compensation. I think George knows this year, okay, it's a little different because we have Russell Wilson and made that deal this year and next year.
Yeah, at least. And one of those fourth round. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I actually think the Broncos could trade back upwards of four times in this draft.
Yeah, and I think it could be like, say those two fourth round picks, 115 and 116. I could see pick 115 in exchange for a fifth rounder and then a fifth rounder next year.
Yeah.
Deals like that. Like, I think the other thing is, if they don't get that deal that you'd love to have, 64 for a second round pick next year, they'll work on the volume of picks for 2023, but the volume of picks, they may come out and say, hey, great, we're up to seven picks for 2023, but most of them are going to be rounds 5, 6, and 7 when all is said and done.
And then next season, you package those picks to jump up and you reverse the trend add ammunition.
It hurts that the Broncos don't have any compensatory picks in all likelihood coming next year either. That's another thing to consider. That right now on the formulas that they have over at Over the Cap, Broncos not projected to pick up any comp picks.
Well, we've talked a lot about Bradley Chubb. What about if he were to get a big deal somewhere else? You know, goes for 15 sacks this year and then gets a $25 million deal.
They'd get the pick in 24.
I hate that. Okay, Madden is always 1 year ahead. It makes no sense.
Right. And okay. one more thing really quick, too, is George Payton obviously loves his picks, but unlike me, where I like to get picks just stacked in the early couple rounds, he's kind of the opposite. Of course, he wants early picks, but he also loves his day three picks. And that's why you see him trade down so much in the second or in the third round, specifically trades down a couple of times last year to pick up those day three picks. Well, he's got a lot of those day three picks now. So I don't think he's too bummed at where he's at right now with this draft.
Fair. Okay. The funniest part about this conversation is that we're either going to be right or wrong, but it's not determined now. It'll just be determined how the board falls. So, like, you know, if one of us ends up being right, it could just be because, like, if Mason and I are right, it could just be because all of George Payton's first round grades were off the board by 40 and he wasn't able to go up there and get it. If we're wrong, it could be because one guy happened to slip and he was the last first round grade they had and he was there at 43 or something. Mm-hmm. So it's funny to have this conversation now because there's so much movement that can happen. And Andre posted this yesterday, like, you can bet over at DraftKings on what position the Broncos will pick at 60 or what will be their first pick of the draft. And Dre posted it with something along the lines of, like, here's a bet you can make based on 63 other variables, which is hilarious. But it's true. There's so many variables that are going to happen between now and then. All right, guys. It's time to go on the record, at least for the first time. You'll have time to change this depending on how things go. Who do the Broncos pick? I'll just save us the trouble of going through that again. With their first pick of this draft.
Mace?
Zach, you go first.
I've never seen you guys both.
No. Usually you guys are fighting for the mic, not deferring.
Zach, go ahead.
There's a couple of players that I think the Broncos will have their eyes on earlier than 64. One of them is a guy we talked about recently, Nick Bonito. Of course, the edge rusher from Oklahoma, that undersized guy, but that has so much pass rush ability. And when we talk about what the Broncos need in terms of that position, we don't say the Broncos need a run supporting outside linebacker. No, we say they need a pass rusher. And that is what Nick Bonito is, one of the best in the country in terms of rushing the passer. And so I think he's right up there on their list. Another guy, if you want kind of a more well-rounded, you go to Logan Hall, who's that defensive end, small defensive end, massive outside linebacker, 6'6", 283 from Houston. We talked about him recently as well. Yeah. He's very disruptive in both the pass and the running game. And then I, of course, can't leave off the offensive side of the ball with offensive tackle. It's one of my favorite guys. And I'm going with Raymond here, Bernard Raymond out of Central Michigan. So those are the three guys I'm really keying in on, but there's one that I think happens. I think Trey McBride slips out of the first round. And when you look at a position that the Broncos can truly get a day one starter with this year, if Bradley Chubb's healthy, if Randy Gregory's healthy, you don't have a day one starter in this draft for the Broncos. If you get an offensive tackle, he could be your day one starter. If you get a defensive lineman, again, he could be your defensive starter. But if you get Trey McBride, he is your day one starter. And I think he slips past the first round, and I think he's there. And I think the Broncos are very intrigued by him. And I'll go right now. Maybe it's a little homerism, but I'm going to go Trey McBride.
Love it. I love it. I'm not sure the fit is there, but I love the idea.
Yeah. Mine isn't going to be that sexy. I'm sorry. Because I don't think McBride's going to be there. So I think if you look tight end, I think Greg Dulcich out of UCLA, we've talked about him as somebody who's more likely to be on the list. I could also see them going offensive line. The two names to keep an eye on, I think, are Cam Jurgens out of Nebraska, Cole Strange out of Chattanooga. And then at cornerback, hey, I love Roger McCreary out of Auburn, but I think the Broncos are going to look for somebody with a bit better measurables. So I think the guy that I would say that if they go corner that they go with is Cam Taylor Britt out of Nebraska. So I named a couple of Cornhuskers, RK. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's rough. but just like this guy says in the comments, thank goodness these guys aren't doing the picking. Couldn't agree more. Okay, so I like that you guys have given like a little more of a widespread. Wait, Mace, did you put your name on one specifically?
I'm going to put my name on Cam Taylor Britt.
Okay, there we go. Corner out of the school with the N. So
the plain end, by the way, I mean, is there a lamer way to do an N on your helmet than the way Nebraska does?
There's nothing lamer than anything Nebraska does.
Oh, come on. They do it's a great place to watch a football game.
It actually really is. I'll give them that.
Lincoln, to use your guys' term, Lincoln slaps as a college town on a football Saturday.
On a football Saturday, yes. It's easy to have a great football culture when there's literally nothing else to do in your town.
What is it, like the fourth largest city in the state on game day or something like that? Or the third largest city?
Something like that. Yeah. Okay. So I've got two for you.
Nope.
And I'll finish with one, but I like that you guys have built up to it. So if the Broncos were to go offense, which I guess I'll bury the lead here by saying I do not think they will do. I like Jelani Woods, the insanely athletic tight end out of Virginia. The dude is just a freak. And when I think of a tight end that works for Russell Wilson, he's much more of a mismatch size jump ball guy than a, you know, find the opening in the zone, come across the middle and sit down and then make something after the catch kind of guy like Trey McBride. So if they were to go offense, I think that's the guy they would go.
He's the only other tight end beyond McBride who excites me in this draft, to be fair.
And he's got a lot, you know, he's very raw. Yeah. But you know, a perfect RAS score, you know, I love that. Also 6'7". I mean, you know, the mismatches that you can create with that, everyone's a mismatch. And so I'm intrigued by that. And I think George Payton and Russell Wilson, which he would absolutely have a hand in that pick, would be intrigued by that too. But I don't think they go offense. I think they go defense, and I think they go with a linebacker from a somewhat similar region to where we are. Not Chad Muma, but Troy Anderson. Maybe my favorite player in the whole draft, especially since we don't get to really talk about top 10 first-round prospects. The maybe most versatile player in the draft, a guy who has been all-conference, all-American, all everything at quarterback, running back, and linebacker. Of course, he settles in at linebacker, which is very clearly the best fit for him in the National Football League. And he would just be an absolute weapon to add to this defense. Oh, and a perfect RAS score.
By the way, King, tell me, the person with a Super Bowl 50 ring who's also from Montana State.
Montana State. Super Bowl 50
person, not a player. I'll give you a hint.
I was gonna say, is it
a coach who is, in a manner of speaking, still around the Broncos?
Bill Kolar.
Ding, bingo. There, I probably gave it away.
Baby. Yeah, let's go, baby.
And of course, you got Alex Singleton.
Manner of speaking, that made it easy.
Yeah, you got Alex Singleton there too, as well on the roster currently. He's from Montana State, but Bill Kolar, Montana State. That's enough to make me think, hey, the Bobcats can be good for the Broncos.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly. There's also another Super Bowl 50 ring from Montana.
Another
Super Bowl 50 ring on a player from Montana.
Who?
Oh, gosh. Zach?
Brock Osweiler.
Oh, not from the university, but from Kalispell. I got you.
Yes, of course. All right. Before we move on, shout out to Ivaca TV, the cure to all of your ails when it comes to not being able to watch the Nuggets or Avalanche on television, which is an absolute atrocity, a joke, an embarrassment to our city. And Ivaca, at least, is doing the Lord's work trying to write the wrongs done to us by greedy billionaires. They are making it available for you to watch the Nuggets and Avalanche for an extremely cheap price, $25 a month plus $10 to have the receiver. But when you use the code DNVR over there, you're going to get $10 off per month. So for your first 3 months, so you're essentially getting the receiver for free, $25 a month to be able to watch those teams. That's an incredible deal. So check out our friends over at Ivaca.tv and use that code DNVR to save $10 off your first 3 months.
You're going to be smiling so much at the start of the regular season, seeing these Broncos fly around the field. You're going to want to make sure your teeth look good. And so go and get your teeth cleaned and get them taken care of over at our friends over at Green Mountain Dental. We've had so many DNVR listeners switch over to Green Mountain Dental, and they've all converted full time to them because they treat you like family. They diehard Colorado sports fans, so you can talk Colorado sports, get your teeth clean in a great environment. And also, if you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, you'll get a free Sonicare toothbrush. That's right. You're going to get your teeth cleaned anyways. Might as well get a free great toothbrush from them by scheduling a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. So check them out. Green Mountain Dental. They're just outside of Denver, only a 15-minute drive from downtown at Green Mountain Dental.
All right, let's move on into the comments here. I think we just have one super chat. If I missed yours, that's my fault. If you're thinking, man, the production on the show sucks, it's because I'm producing it. self-production here. But it's just a super chat, no comment, from Troy Booher. Booher, I just met her. So thank you for that. We appreciate it. I'm going to look to see if he followed it up with a comment or if he came in with a comment before, but I don't think he did. He was just contributing. Oh, wait, he did come in with a comment before.
Oh, okay.
All right, let me find it again. I almost lost
it.
It,
Troy.
There we go. Best tweet of the day so far with the number 9 pick in the 2022 NFL draft. The Denver Broncos select Russell Wilson, quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks.
They hope that's also with the number 32 pick in the 2023 NFL draft as well. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes, they do.
Dream big.
Okay, let's get into the comments on the website. Of course, you guys can leave your comments over on thednvr.com if you are a member at thednvr.com. Tons of member perks. Maybe the biggest of all, you just get a free shirt when you sign up, which is a $30 value. So that cuts your thing and your price in half right then and there. Of course, you can also come down to the bar and get member-sized beer, 22 ounces for the price of 16, which is pretty awesome. So become a member, leave your comments, get your beers, get your shirt, and be a happier person. And the first one, go ahead.
First one coming in from PigTosser66, who makes us a happier person. He says, I want a DNVR t-shirt with Zach wearing a K-Jack jersey riding thunder across the field with hashtag Zach Rides branded on the saddle. Yes, please. I think that's a pretty easy task to get going.
I would wear the shit out of that.
Would you ride that saddle?
Yeah, and also, like, I love shirts with lightning on them. So I'm thinking, like, since you're riding thunder, get some lightning in the background to add.
Yes,
to that.
Little white lightning, may you say?
Oh yeah, you got white lightning himself cheering you on from the sidelines.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, there's gonna be a great Nathaniel Hackett sound clip involving thunder at some point.
Oh yes, you do. Absolutely.
All right.
Next one coming in from That's What She Said. He says, hey guys, I've been catching up on pods this week and I was tickled to hear the shout out from Zach. That made my day. No questions for me today. Just wanted to say how much I enjoy what you guys do. The pod is something I look forward to every day. And on top of that, I love throwing around all my Broncos knowledge that I've learned from this podcast. I love when guys look at me and they're like, how does she know all this? I try to plug your podcast and the entire DNVR coverage to anyone I know that likes sports. Thanks again, and let's ride. And man, thank you so much, Rachel. That means a lot, and it was great to meet you this weekend.
Yeah, that's a great handle, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You really can't go wrong with a good That's What She Said reference.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Especially all right, when she's schooling guys about her Broncos knowledge.
Exactly.
That is dope. Lionel Hutz, attorney at law. Gentlemen, it's been a minute. Haven't been commenting, but I've been listening. Two quick shout outs. First to the DNVR for signing my boy Greeny. I believe that's Ryan Green. As always, his content is A+ work. Cannot agree more with that. As always, he says, second to the draft guys, for anyone who hasn't had the opportunity to listen to their stuff, it is outstanding. Listen to it all year. And by the way, those guys will be on tonight, really carrying the coverage, as they are the experts when it comes to this stuff. Of course, you know, we dabble in it, but they spend all year studying these prospects, talking about these prospects. So these guys are awesome, and I love when we get to mash together and break this stuff down. So looking forward to that. And then he finally goes, my one question is this. What is your philosophy on need versus value when drafting? Do you truly go with BPA or best player for need, and don't say, oh, a combination of both. That's boring. I know Mace will say a combination of both. And
I'd like to always go BPA. I mean, that's the thing is, not everybody has the luxury of doing that. I think actually one thing that the Broncos have right now is they have the luxury of going BPA.
Yep.
But here's where the combination comes in is let's put that to the test. Let's say the best player on your board is a wide receiver at 64. Is that really where you're going?
I'm looking at that wide receiver and saying, all right, could he be better than somebody that we have? For example, if you have a wide receiver you absolutely love and he's a pick 64 and you say, well, he could be within a year at least at Jerry Jeudy's level, then I'm doing it and then I'm trying to trade the surplus.
Okay, but how are you getting that guy on the field? Is Jerry Jeudy coming off the field in order to do that? Is this guy just showing you he's good in practice? See, that's why there truly is a combination of this. But I think that's the position where it's tested the most, because cornerback, Broncos have three starters right now. But obviously, I think if there's a great cornerback there, that's the one where you could say, okay, yeah, you take him. He can either take over Ronald Darby's spot this year or Kaywan Williams if he's that good, or he gets to develop. I think you could do that at every spot except for wide receiver.
Yeah, the only thing, the thing is, though, I think you'd be thinking, all right, if he comes in, he flashes, then eventually you trade Jerry Jeudy. If you operate in the environment where you say that pretty much nobody is untouchable, then it gives you a little bit more freedom. And if you say, all right, yeah, what few holes we still have on the roster, let's say you want a fourth cornerback. You can look on the free agents who are still there, and you can find a guy for a year, like a tight end, for example. The Broncos have already worked out Kyle Rudolph. If they don't get one of these tight ends we talked about in this podcast today, and they're still looking for a tight end, then you just sign Rudolph to a 1-year deal and you go on and you figure it out in the future.
Here's the issue at wide receiver, though, is if you draft someone to replace Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, whoever, that person's draft stock and draft or value goes way down. I mean, you're trading, you're not getting anything good back for them. So while you're maybe getting a little better of a replacement, you think you're also losing so much value on the guys you have. I just cannot see the Broncos going wide receiver at all with an early pick.
I can't see it either, also, just because I don't think the value is would be there anyway, especially when you look at how relatively easy it is to find wide receivers. But if I were sitting in that chair, I wouldn't dismiss anything because of position. Now, that being said, if wide receiver was the best at pick 64 and it was the best player available, I would probably also be fielding calls for teams that would be interested in said wide receiver.
Great point. For me, it's not best player at a need. It's not best player available. It's best player at a position of value, meaning best edge rusher, best corner, unless there's someone you also really love at a different position. But to me, that's where I would start and say, what are the high value positions and do I like the best player available at that position here?
So really quick, Ryan, I have to ask, because the two guys that you mentioned about the Broncos picking are not at high value positions. It's inside linebacker with Troy Anderson, and with Jelani Woods, it's tight end. So how do you justify that?
I justify that by saying those guys are freaks, above and beyond, guys with unreal ceilings that you could go with. And again, that's a prediction, not necessarily what I would do, but it's probably also what I would
that's
do fair. If I was there. I want to say this about Jelani Woods, and I was just thinking about this. So you line up with two tight ends, right? And on one side, you have Albert Okwuegbunam, who is 6'5" and runs a 4.5. So whoever is matched up with him, that is going to be your best coverage tight end, am I right? Or your best coverage linebacker. Or, you know, whatever you do, however you like to cover linebackers, you're going to use, tight ends, Jesus. You're going to use that guy on whoever you like covering tight ends. And then Jelani Woods, so if that was the Broncos, you're like putting Baron Browning on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have Jelani Woods on the other side, the team has no choice but to put their Josie Jewell on him. And it's like a 6'7" athletic freak against Josie Jewell, Now, again, you can change. That's not, you know, a one for one thing. You could change it up. Maybe you bring more, secondary members onto the field and you try to confirm that way. Then you have a massive size disadvantage. So, like, that type of thing is an investment in what is going to make this team great, which is the offense, crazy to say. But it makes you more of a mismatch nightmare. So that's why I would go and do something like that.
It's very fair. It's very fair.
And then Troy Anderson, I just love. So that's why.
I mean, that's the guy you're putting on the field to defend your Jelani Woods in your scenario. There you go.
100%. Exactly. And he still might have a hard time doing it, but at least he has the athleticism and he's going to know what's coming because he was a quarterback.
Exactly. Next one coming in from
RVA. We got another super chat, so let's just hit this really quick. Kyle Orr says, just show some love to the guys. Appreciate the show, and I'm down to get that Kareem shirt, too. Is that a Kareem shirt or a Zach shirt?
It's a Zach shirt with the Kareem Jackson jersey number.
So it's a Zach shirt with a nod to Kareem.
Mm-hmm. We can really make it a my shirt because that was the number I wore in high school. I was double deuce.
Oh, wow. Man, maybe Kareem should show some love to his fellow 22.
He seems to be going. It seems to be picking off media members one by one so far this offseason.
I mean,
went after Benjamin Albright. Now he's going after Zach.
I like I said on the show yesterday, I want spicy Kareem. I'm sorry that Zach got caught in the crossfire, but the spicier Kareem, better.
Next right, one coming in from here. RVA Broncos says, hey guys, since everyone else is doing this, so will I. I'm a big Broncos fan and wear at least a Broncos hat daily. I work for a popular moving and storage company in Virginia. I was training a new driver, so I wasn't able to see my phone most of the day. While at the job around 2-ish, I looked down at my phone to see breaking news. Drew Lock traded to Seattle.
That was the lead?
That's pretty crazy if so. And he says, to see we got Wilson, I was thrilled. Told my trainee, and his response was, yeah, I saw that earlier, but I don't really like sports. He was off my truck the next day.
When I read training a new driver, I totally thought he was at the driving range.
Oh, wow. So he was training a new club? He was training a piece of hardware?
Yeah.
You got to show the club who's boss. Like, there's a training period when you get it that, you know, the club comes in and wants to be the alpha. You have to show it. That's not how things are going to work.
Typically, when you do that, though, doesn't the club end up broken?
No.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I mean, you're snapping your shaft in two, like the portrayal of Jerry West on Winning Time.
Let's hope no shafts are being broken into two.
I wish he had a screenshot of the breaking news, Drew Lock to Seattle.
It's serious. Well, what company did that?
Okay. I think I know how this would happen because he said he looked down at 2 o'clock. So that would be basically noon mountain time. And of course the first thing that broke is that Russell Wilson was to the Broncos. And then a little bit later we learned about who was going back. So it's possible that because he didn't look at it right away, he looked at it a little bit after everything broke, that the first thing that popped up was the most recent alert, which would have been Drew Lock going to Seattle.
The lead was quite literally buried.
Yes.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Next one
it made perfect sense to me.
Next one from Nikola Jokic, QB1. I love that name.
Next one's from... Okay.
He says, after a tough Nuggets loss, I woke up this morning wanting an easy win. So I finally pulled the trigger on a DNVR membership. Let's go.
That's
to all my fellow longtime listeners, not yet subscribers, I'll say this. You can really put a price on these vibes. And in the spirit of good vibes, here's my Russell Wilson story. Love to hear it. He says, I teach at CU. As a part of the process of getting my PhD, one fateful March morning, I'm going over the lesson plan in my office when an ESPN alert comes across my phone. Russell Wilson is going to be a Bronco. I immediately text my girlfriend, my best friend, and my dad, but it's not enough. I need to share this joy in person. I walk across campus, go into my classroom, and lock eyes with the two vocal Chiefs fans in class. They haven't heard the news, so I get to tell them. The Broncos got Russell Wilson. If I could bottle the look of their frustration and disappointment on their faces in that moment and sell it around Broncos country, I'd make enough to outbid Rob Walton himself. What a great story.
I love that. You can't put a price on that that destruction in their eyes, and you can't put a price on the vibes, like he said. So that's awesome. Chiefs fans are going to act really tough on the outside, especially on social media. But deep down in their hearts, they know that the Broncos are coming for them, and it terrifies them.
And isn't that instant reaction kind of show you exactly that? Because now those people have probably toughened up and they've convinced themselves that Russ had a down, in quotations, year last year, which still was a great year. But that initial reaction shows the true feelings.
Yeah,
I'd like the follow up.
Come again.
I want to see the follow up to see how they reacted when Tyreek Hill was traded.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Let's model
that's
and
a good
sell it.
Point.
All right, final one here is from T-Wood 16. If Kareem thought that question was a dumb question, dumbest question ever asked, I guess he didn't watch the Avalanche post-game presser after the loss to Vegas last year. Goddamn. Also, Russell Wilson trade story. I was busy working and got a text from my Seahawks buddy saying something along the lines of, well, I'm not a Seahawks fan anymore. And I was like, what? And checked Twitter and instantly was like, holy beep, we got Wilson. Immediately after checking my Twitter, I sent my girlfriend a text saying, Russell effing Wilson. She's not a sports fan, but I was so excited that I still had to tell her. But what I did not notice was that not even 2 minutes before, she sent me a text saying she didn't get the job she was hoping to get.
Don't!
And once I noticed, I looked like a complete ass. So I had to buy her flowers afterwards to make it up to her. All was forgiven.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Wow, that was
at least someone was
comment.
Happy in the household that day.
A zinger to start the comment, a twist at the end of the story. That had everything.
That was a great storytelling, T-Woods.
I mean, let's just say, like, not getting the job is not as low on the list of what bad news you could have gotten that would have made that way worse.
Yeah, that's very true. It is very
true.
That's
probably, like, 10th, you know? There were, like, 9 more things that could have gone there that would have made you in a way worse position.
It's very true. It's very true. I hope we don't have to experience those anytime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And Charles Pinster says, what do we target tonight, boys? What position? Nothing at all. We target beers at the DNVR bar on DNVR Draft Day Live. That's what we're targeting. And it's absolutely what you should be targeting as well with your evening tonight. We're going to have an absolute, absolute blast on this show. I cannot wait. Of course, we're going to have Henry. We're going to have Andre. We're going to have Mace. We're going to have Zach. We're going to have me. We're going to have some special guests. That should be a really good time. We'll cycle in some other DNVR people from the DNVR universe and so on and so forth. So no need to target any positions tonight. We'll worry about that tomorrow. But tonight, come hang with us, 5:50 p.m., the beginning of DNVR Draft Day Live. You don't want to miss it. But until then, we'll see you in a few hours, I guess, on the DNVR Broncos.
We're flying cotton, we'll stick to your lips.